Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
As I framed this message, I was reminded of where I lived before I came here in Manila. I live across a park that has a lot of trees. And God loves me so much because I love trees. And so when he moved me to Singapore, I realized he loves me so much because this is the island of trees. And where I live, I always see these guys who chop trees and clean the trees. There's almost like a machinery in Singapore of how they maintain trees. And I love it. I love watching it because they trim it on the inside where you see the outer things, but really allows the sun to go into the grass and all these stuff. And it's a good thing. And in light of framing this message, I thought this picture was apt of those tree cutters, of people who cut trees who have good intentions but are probably doing the wrong thing. They're about to hurt themselves, if not hurt others. And it poses this question, how can you avoid making dumb decisions? This is the story we're about to look at. And in the past, we've looked at the book of Genesis. We've been journeying through it. Today, we are interestingly going to look at, for the first time, literally two verses out of Genesis chapter 26. But it captures the story of how do you avoid making dumb decisions. The text we're looking at is Genesis 26, verse 34, where it says, when Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Elon, and Basemath, daughter of Elon. That's not Elon Musk, amen? And it says Esau. Esau is an interesting character in Scripture. He is the son of Isaac and the grandson of Abraham, which means he should be smarter than your average guy. But as you've seen in previous texts, he is not very smart. He traded what was most valuable, his birthright, for something that was less valuable, which is a bowl of stew. And then now he's about to make yet another dumb decision. He knows that his father Abraham sent a steward to look for a wife for his son Isaac. And he knew that there was a way to do that. And the reason why they didn't want to marry people was because Hittites were not exactly, this is not about being racial. This is about something being very spiritual. Hittites were people who literally offered their children to gods. I mean, killed them. And he didn't want them to marry people like that. But he did. So he married at 40 years old. How many of you know if you're 40 years old and still don't get it, something's wrong with you? And this is the story that we're looking at. This guy is 40 years old and he's still making these dumb decisions. Some of you are smiling because you know people who are like that. Or maybe you're that, the way you're smiling because you're like that. The point is he marries Judith and Basemath. In other words, he doesn't make one mistake. He makes the same mistake twice, which begs the question, why would he do that? The second verse we're looking at is verse 35, which says, they were the source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. To grieve your parents and to cause grief and pain to others would be like chopping that tree and falling on top of your parents. Grief. I want to jump very quickly to chapter 27, verse 46, and show you the extent of that grief, where it says, then Rebekah said to Isaac, I'm disgusted with living because of this Hittite woman. There's disgust because of the thing that this man did. Worse, she said, in fact, it's not worth living for as long as these women are around us. This was the grief, the level of grief. Last month, I posted this on Instagram, and I was making a point about frustrations. And there's two questions really that we're answering here this morning. The first one was the question we asked earlier. But the second one is this question. What can you do when others bring grief to you? It's one thing, what can you do when you're about to make a dumb decision? But the second question is, in this particular story, is what do you do when others bring you grief? Is literally the same answer to the other question, how can you avoid making dumb decisions? And the simple answer is pray. And I know that's not the answer that you'd like to hear. Prayer is a position of weakness. Prayer is the thing that people do when they are absolutely in disgust. But the reality is it is a muscle, a spiritual muscle you need to develop. And prayer is not what we think it is. Prayer is, we think, that's something that we do rather than the reality that prayer is the attitude of the heart. In fact, when we hear the word prayer, some of us get to almost hear the word snore, amen? Because it's so boring. And my goal this morning is really to help you get to the place where prayer is not just boring, but is the default muscle of your spirit. Now, let me give you a few reasons why you need to pray. The first reason why you need to pray is because it gives us a perspective from heaven. And I like what Pastor Mark said a while ago. Our perspectives are limited. No matter how hard you try, there's things you're not going to see. There's things, there's storms, there's accidents, there's promotions and demotions, there's people that are going to blindside you. And when you pray, you get to back off a bit and give you a perspective that's different. And that's why you want to pray. The second reason why you want to pray, it's a daily declaration. The absence of prayer in our life is a declaration that we will attempt to make this day work without God. Whenever you try to start the day without prayer, what you're basically declaring is, I'm going to try to make this day work even with God not being around. The presence of prayer is a daily declaration that I will not even attempt to start this day without God. Prayer, by the way, is not something you just do in the morning. It's something you need to be doing the course of your day because it's not something you do. It is the attitude of your heart that says, God, I need you. I need you for all of this. I prayed for this service. I prayed for my wife's nephew who's here and her niece and his wife. And I prayed. I pray for just about everything. I pray for my grandchildren. I pray because I know there is certain perspectives I do not have access to. And there's certain things I can't do. And it's a declaration that I will not start this day without God. The third reason is because it's the key to peace. The Bible says, do not worry about anything, but in everything. Everybody say everything. Through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And then it goes on to say, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. A lot of people don't have peace because they don't pray. It's a simple act of just realizing, do not worry. The minute you have worry or anxiety setting before you, stop, back off, and do what it says. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Make your requests known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. And that's what Esau should have done. He should have backed off and learned from his father and from his grandfather, who knew how to back off and pray every time they made mistakes. By the way, Abraham and Isaac, as you've seen throughout the course of our study, have made gazillions of mistakes, big mistakes, bad mistakes, but they knew how to pray. Prayer is not you about you being perfect. It's you about tapping into the resources of God because you know God has resources beyond yours. I like the scientific finding. I don't know if you've heard this. They said that 2 minutes of the sun's energy traveling in light speed hitting Earth is equivalent to all of the energy that mankind produces on a daily basis. All the buildings, all the gasoline, all the generators, every ship that you see that's floating out there, all that, they estimated this thing, that 2 minutes of the sun's energy is equivalent to all of 24 hours of the energy that we produce. That's how powerful the sun is. Now, when you start thinking about how powerful the sun is, that's 2 minutes. That's not even 2 hours. That's not even 24 hours. Then you start to think how long the sun has been out there for the last 6,000 years that we know of in history. And then you start to think about God who made that and the billions of suns that he made. And you understand that God has power beyond yours. Access to resources that you don't even know existed. The final reason why you want to pray, and this is what Esau should have done, is because it keeps you from temptation. Jesus said, watch and pray so you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And temptation is really the way you lose the higher values of life as the devil presents you with lower values made to look like they're higher value than God. And we exchange that. And Jesus said the way you avoid that temptation is to pray. The simple way of simply going to God and saying, God, I need you today. When the disciples of Jesus asked him, How do you do this? How do you actually pray? How do you make prayer not boring? How do you make it your knee-jerk reaction? How do you make it literally a point of strength? They were asking this question in Matthew chapter 6. He said, Jesus, how do you pray? How should you pray? How do you do this where it's not just something that's a drone and something that's just religious and something that has no power, that I can actually do it the whole day? And he said, this is how you should pray. He said, start by saying, Our Father. Get a perspective of who you're talking to. And we all have had fathers who are good, fathers who have provided for us, fathers who have been kind to us, fathers who have been a blessing, fathers who have taught us good stuff. But there's no one like our Father in heaven. And we've also had some fathers who were very strict, and we have this image of this father. Last Friday night, I went out with seven girls from our church. I shouldn't say girls, seven ladies from our church, because they're not young anymore, but they all wanted to learn how to ride Segways. You guys know what Segways are. So I do Segway tours here. I'm the official Segway tour of Singapore. And so I brought these seven ladies with me, and I should have shown you the picture, and we were riding this thing. I've never had so much estrogen in my life. I mean, I have three sons. And so I toured them, and I got so tired. I was lying down. This was Friday evening. I woke up at Saturday at 1:30 in the morning. And I just went to the restroom and lie down in bed. And as soon as I laid down, I just put my arms this way, and I just started praying. Father. Father. Just the peace and the perspective that God is my Father. That at 62 years old, he's still out there. As a father, the older I get, the weaker I get. As a father, the older I get, the resources get lesser. But you know what's good about this other father? He doesn't. And just that mention of Father, I laid down there for about 10 minutes. Father, I just kept saying Father. I wasn't even thinking about preaching there. I just kept saying, Father, oh, I love you. Oh, I love who you are. I love what you do for me. And then I started praying for my wife. I extended my hand and laid hands on her and said, Father, bless my wife. Watch over her health. Then I started praying for my children and my grandchildren. And prayer comes out when we have this perspective of God is a Father. And his name is worthy to be hallowed. The word hallowed be the name simply means his name is special. It's different. It's one of a kind. And so when you begin to pray that, you begin to realize he's not a strict father. His name is love. His name is peace. His name is shalom. His name is joy. He's a provider. He's a creator. He made all the heavens. It changes the dynamics of prayer. This is the person I'm talking to. And Jesus gave me access to this father. And then I do it when I'm riding a car, walking, where I'm talking, wherever I am, or I hear an ambulance and I start praying and say, God, whatever is going on there, would you watch over those people in Jesus' name? The attitude of prayer causes me to cast my cares instead of carry them, because he's from heaven. He's got a perspective that I don't have. There's things that he sees that I don't even have a clue even exist. There are bugs they're discovering today that's literally species, thousands of different bugs from a particular species that they thought they've already discovered that they still haven't discovered. Because that's how amazing he is. And that's how you take the boredom out of prayer, Jesus said. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. His presence. Then he says, your kingdom come. This is important here. This is how you pray. Many of our prayers is, Lord, can you give me a promotion tomorrow? Lord, can you give me more money? Lord, can you give me this? Can you bless me? He says, this is how you pray. Our Father in heaven, I ask for his presence. Ask for the presence of this Father who genuinely loves you, who cares about. Then he says, your kingdom come. Your priorities. I don't want mine. I want your kingdom. You're God. You know what's best for me. You know that the things that I think are good for me might actually be bad for me. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. I don't want my will. I want your will. I want your stuff. I want what's best. And I know that you know what's better than me. Just as it is in heaven. Let it be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Exactly the way you would have it in heaven. That's my prayer, God. I don't want to live anything less than what it looks like in heaven. You and I are eternal creatures. We're going to die one day. Eternity does not begin when you die. It begins here on earth. You're living like it is in heaven on earth. That's why when you get to heaven, you're so used to it. This is what it looks like. And that's a prayer. That's what I'm asking you, God. I want to live life on earth like I'm in heaven already. I want your will over my children. I want your will over my grandchildren. I want your will over my life, over every area of my life. It's that idea of not just the presence of God, but the priorities of God. Not my priorities, Lord, yours. You read the Our Father this way, and you're never going to get bored. You're practically in the first part of the prayer. Now he says, give us today our daily bread. He says, ask for your provisions. Then go and ask him, Lord, provide for me. You know my needs. Thank God I only wear the same shirt every day now. I've got less needs for clothes, amen? But you know them. You know exactly what I need. In fact, in the world we live in today, you should be praying, Father, get rid of the things that I really don't need. With the amount that the internet's offering you, your prayer should be, Lord, could you take me away from the traps that are being offered to me that are really useless, that really have no value? They're actually just creating distractions for me. Give us today our daily bread. Meet my children at their provision. If he is genuinely the Father who says, I will be your Jehovah Jireh, do you know what that means? I'll provide whatever you need when you need it. That's his name. That's one of his names. And it says, forgive us our debts. This is important as we forgive others. Forgiveness is important because it's the only source of peace. You need to pray this prayer on a regular basis. It would be like the equivalent of this is washing your soul, or your soul's taking a bath. Okay? If you don't pray this prayer, this part of the prayer, it would be like, can you imagine if you went to today and didn't take a bath, and you went to tomorrow and you didn't take a bath, and you went to the next day and you didn't take, if you did every day for the whole month, you didn't take a bath, how will you look like and how will you smell like? Can anybody tell? Horrible. That's what you do with your soul when you don't pray this prayer. This is literally taking a bath for your soul. It's when you go to God and say, Lord, show me where I've offended you. Show me where I've exaggerated myself. Show me where I've told a lie. Show me where I've thought bad thoughts about the guy. Show me that moment when the guy passed over me and said, I hope you die. Amen? And I'm a Christian. Clean my soul. Wash my soul. Get this junk out of me. I don't want to walk around carrying this. That's what this prayer is. And you know what happens when you do that? Life becomes full of peace. It's not just God's presence. It's not just his priorities. It's not just his provision. You've got peace because you're not carrying all this weight. The Bible says if we think we don't sin against God, we're liars. But the same Bible says that if we confess our sins to God, he's gracious and faithful to forgive us of all our sins. So God's not after us having perfect lives that we work for God. He's our Father. You don't work for your Father, amen? Now, I know some of you do. This is a different Father here. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you. He wants to prosper you. But he wants you to realize that you need a bath. You need a spiritual bath. You need to cleanse this thing. You need to be confessing sins. The minute you pray and the Holy Spirit reminds you, you know that thing you just did? That was wrong. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me my sins? And help me to forgive the others who sin against me. And let me walk in peace today. It's a powerful thing when you pray. In fact, the devil doesn't want you to pray precisely because he knows if he can get you not to do that, he can offer you a bunch of other temptations. But if God can get you to do this, there's no way he can rob you. Now, he goes on and says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the part of the prayer where you go and say, God, would you protect me? I pray that for my wife every day, especially in Singapore these days. You've got all these scooters, and my wife walks a lot. And I pray for her. I say, Lord, just watch over my wife. I mean, I hope that not one of these young kids that have these high-speed scooters will hit her one of these days. I pray for protection. I've got 5 grandchildren. I can't watch over them. I can't protect them. Only God can do that. Now, one of them is in England right now. The other guy, the other 4 are somewhere, and they're little kids. They tumble and fall. They knock their heads, and I'm not going to have peace. I've got to go to God and say, God, you're watching these children. Protect them. Protect me. Protect my health. Show me areas and things that I shouldn't actually be eating. Show me things that I shouldn't be doing that's actually unhealthy for me. This is the stuff that Esau should have done, because he knew that his father and his grandfather were people like these. These were people who were sinners. They were making mistakes, but they knew how to pray. They knew how to go before God, and he refused to do it. He insisted on making decisions on his own. Now, finally, it says, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." And this is where the prayer Jesus says ends. He says, yours is the power. God, you have all the power. You have power over me. I love praying that. I love praying that I'm not using my energy. I don't like using my energy. I like using God's energy. My energy is limited. The older I get, the more I feel it. And then he says, not just that, for yours is the kingdom, for yours is the glory. The very purpose of why I'm even praying is because I want you to be glorified. I want people to see me and say, why is he like that? Why is his life blessed? Why is that the way he lives? It's because my God is a good God. He's a glorious God. He's a king. And he's my father. And I want him to be glorified in my life. Now notice, the top two are about God. His presence, his priorities, and the last two are about his power and purpose. And really, the middle part is just what you are about. God, just give me my provision. That's all you need, right? I just need provision, peace, and protection. If I have that, I'm fine. But you know what we try to do? We try to get that on our own. And then we realize how stressful it is to get that on our own. We try. That's why we're stressed, because we're trying. Okay, I'm going to provide for myself. I'm going to have peace for myself. You can't have peace. Peace comes from taking a bath. Amen. In your soul. And God, would you protect me? This is how you pray. This is what Esau should have done. This is the answer to both questions. What do you do when people grieve you? What do you do when you're about to make dumb decisions? Or how do you avoid them? Step back and pray. Amen? I want to close this service by doing an exercise. You can stand up. You can kneel down. You can close your eyes. You can open your eyes. I've seen God answer my prayers when my eyes are open. Amen? Some people think the only way God's going to answer my prayers is if I close my eyes. Some people think the only way God's going to answer my prayers is if I fold my hands. The only way God's going to answer my prayers is if I fold my hands and go and kneel down. God's going to answer your prayers because he is God and he loves you. That's why. And let me say something about prayer, for just one last thing. It's muscle memory, folks. You get good at it as you do it every day. It's the same as lunges and sit-ups and squats and whatever it is that you're doing. It's the same as reading and writing. Keep doing it. It becomes a habit. It becomes part of you. It just becomes this knee-jerk reaction. And so it is with prayer. When it becomes your knee-jerk reaction, that's Abraham's reaction. I made a mistake. I go to God and I say sorry. That's Isaac's reaction. I make a mistake. I go to God and I say sorry. Esau's reaction was not like that. I've made a mistake, I'll repeat it again. And I'll do it again. And as you'll see, as this whole story of Esau plays out, he keeps doing it. He never grew in prayer. Amen? Would you just close your eyes for a minute? Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And if you want to open your eyes or kneel down or stand up, it's really up to you. But I want to give you a short exercise of how to pray. My goal is that when you leave here today, you will have the desire and the ability to want to pray. Father, we just thank you this morning. I thank you, Father, for every person represented here. Look up here for a minute. You know what? This is funny. This muscle has grown on me probably for the last 10 years. When I say the word Father, I start giggling. I literally start giggling because I find that God actually walks up to me. As soon as I say Father, he walks up to me and says, "Oh, you very cute little Joey." That's the sensation I feel when I pray the prayer. I didn't get there overnight. I got there because of 30 years of praying. 30 years of going to him. And now it's a knee-jerk reaction. As soon as I start giggling because I literally feel his presence. And then you begin to hear him. And he begin to say to you, "Joey, I love you and I care for you and I'm going to bless you and you have nothing to worry about." And then you begin to worship him and you say, "God, you're so good. Father, I'm so blessed just to know you." Oh, you're a good God. You're the creator. Can you imagine? You're my friend. And you made all the suns. And there's billions of suns. And they're all... Some of you are not excited. You're our Father in heaven. That's how you pray. Give us this day our daily. Oh, God, I love you. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Whew, hallowed be your name. Wow, what a God. What a joy to serve you. Whew, hallowed be your name. I could park there for a whole day. Hallowed be your name, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nisi, my banner. Jesus who died for me, hallowed be your name. What kind of a God are you? Your kingdom come. Oh gosh, it's going to be a great day. Your kingdom's coming today. Yay! Your will be done on earth. This is how I look in the spirit. I don't look like this when you see me pray. But this is what it looks like. Some of you, the way you pray is like you feel like you're dying. That's how I look in the spirit. Some of you who think I'm very serious, I'm not. In the spirit, I'm just... Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth today, just as it is in heaven. Wow! What is this day going to look like for me? Give me this day what I need, God. No more, no less. Just exactly what I need. Just drop it. If you want me to have moving peak ice cream today, yes, Lord. Let's pray. Why can't he do that for you? He's your Father. And Lord, where I've gone wrong, past, present, and future, where I've had issues, where I've had sins that I've gotten used to, thoughts and ways of thinking that are wrong, please change me. Please change me, God. I don't want to be like that. I want to be like you. And Father, would you just protect the entire family, whatever they may be, particularly my wife, God. She blessed me with such an amazing woman. For yours, God, is the power. Yours is the glory. You deserve all my praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me close this service. Father, bless your people today. Teach us to pray. Take away from us, Lord, the spirit of Esau that chooses to walk on his own, to do things on his own, to think that he can do things on his own. And Father, we see the trajectory of that life and how destructive it is, and how it's brought so much grief to so many people. Father, I pray that we be a prayerful people, a people who will seek you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.